How would you define illness?
Chronic poor health,
acute sickness, disease, low vitality, fatigue, pain, stress, disabilities, handicaps. These are all manifestations of the basic concept that we call illness. Illness can sap the strength, drain the hopes, kill the energies, twist the intellect, pervert the emotions, and leave us broke. On the other hand, illness can become a cleansing fire. It can burn away the trivialities of life and make us appreciate every blessing that we have. The experience of illness can make us or break us. I think all of us would agree that there are three kinds of illness. There is physical, mental, and spiritual illness. Let us consider each one of these briefly. First of all, there is physical illness. God is very much aware of the sick. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people. Matthew tells us in chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus healed the mother-in-law of Peter, who suffered with a fever, in chapter 8 of Matthew 14 and 15. He also healed those with palsy, Mark 2 and 5. And in Mark chapter 9, he healed one who had an evil spirit. He also healed the blind. Bartimaeus was one of them, Mark 10, 36 and 37. On and on we could go, listing the cases of Jesus' miracle, where he healed people while here on earth. In our own generation, men and women still face physical illness. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, AIDS, other diseases are still attacking and destroying the bodies of people. Jesus is now at the right hand of his Father. He does not heal like he did when walking the earth, but the Lord can and does heal from a distance through medicines, through his providential care, through doctors, through prayer. There are two kinds of physical illness. There are physical illnesses that we can change and some we cannot change. For many people, a change in lifestyle would restore their health. They could watch their diets. Medical professionals tell us that obesity is really hurting people. People can stop smoking, drinking alcohol as a beverage. They could start exercising more. Recently, I heard a report on the radio that said people could improve their memories by walking 30 minutes three times a week. Many people could improve their health with a proper diet and proper rest. Other people may be able to improve their physical condition simply by a more optimistic and realistic outlook on life and death. The medical profession has also proven that religious faith adds to the quality of one's physical life. A negative outlook on life is a real killer. Others may need better medications. And so, the medical profession searches for cures and solutions to the illnesses that crouch like lions, ready to leap upon us. But then there is physical illness that cannot change. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and though he asked God three times to remove it, the answer was no. Instead, Paul was given enough grace to bear it, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 19. We must learn that when one door closes, another door opens. Paul used his suffering as a means to bring glory and honor to God. Finally, Paul began to believe that when he was weak, then was he strong. Charlotte Elliott was an invalid when she wrote the song, "Just As I Am." George Matheson was totally blind when he wrote the song, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Handel was almost paralyzed when he composed the Hallelujah Chorus. Unchangeable illness need not stop us from doing great things for God and for mankind. That's right. I went to college with a Christian girl who was in an iron lung. She died just a couple of years ago. And the messages that people wrote about the good that that lady had done were amazing. Even though she could not breathe on her own, her faith and influence rippled to far shores and refreshed the hearts of all who knew her. Not only is there physical illness in the world, There's also mental illness. Many people in our world are neurotics or schizophrenics or paranoid or psychotic. Many of our hospital beds are filled with people who are more mentally ill than they are physically ill. Some people are mentally ill because they were born with the infirmity. Others became mentally ill, perhaps because of stress or strain that life threw at them, and the only way they could cope was this way. Some people may be mentally ill because of the effects of wickedness. That's right. I remember the story of Saul, the first king of Israel. We read about him in the Old Testament. Saul is a striking example of mental and spiritual illness combined. Saul's pride and his ego led to hatred, jealousy, fear, paranoia, and finally, his death. During periods of stress, Saul fluctuated violently from expressions of faith to expressions of deep despair. His moods moved from victory to utter defeat. At times, Saul loved his loyal friends, but at other times, he even tried to kill them. Today, Saul's symptoms are commonly recognized as symptoms of mental illness. Saul had seen that the Lord was with the young man David, the son of Jesse. He also knew that David could play the harp. And so Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it came to pass that whenever the evil spirit came upon Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. 1 Samuel 16:22-23. However, after a while, when David grew older, he became a military leader and a military hero to the people, who made up a song about him. They sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Well, when Saul heard it, he became very angry, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what can he have but the kingdom?" And so Saul looked upon David with suspicion and paranoia from that day on. When next an evil spirit came upon Saul, he raved in the middle of the house. While David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand, and he hurled that spear because he was thinking, "I will pin David to the wall." And David escaped from Saul's presence, 1 Samuel 18:7-11. Well, that happened not only once, but twice. That's right. There is no way to separate one's mental and spiritual health. Did you know that? Now we understand why Solomon wrote, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed all the issues of life." He also wrote, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he," Proverbs 4:23, and also chapter 23:7. No wonder that Christ said then that the first and the greatest commandment included loving God with all our mind. Matthew 22:39. Well, negative emotions that arise from being hurt are a major cause of mental illness. Mental health experts tell us that when you are hurt, do not bury your hurt. Do not withdraw from the world. Do not retreat from that which is good. Do not hold on to the hurt. Mixing hatred with hurt and seeking revenge can only make us worse than the person who hurt us. The Apostle Paul wrote, "But now you also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." That's Colossians 3:8. He also wrote, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Ephesians 4:31. Well, Christians will leave vengeance to the Lord if they follow Romans 12:19. Christians love their enemies. They pray for them. They overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Christians forgive, and like Jesus, we pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. Christians turn their broken hearts over to Jesus, who is the healer of the brokenhearted. Luke 4:18. But in the third place, there is spiritual illness. This is a sickness brought on by unforgiven sin. That's right. The prophet Isaiah described the sinful Jews in his day. From the sole of the foot even under the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Isaiah 1 verse 6. Israel was spiritually sick, you see. It needed to pray like David. Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Psalm 41 and 4. Jesus said this about the unbelieving Jews of his day. I speak unto them in parables because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Matthew 13:13-15. Friends, those people were spiritually sick. They needed to be healed, but Christ could heal them only if they were converted. In other words, those people had to begin to listen, to repent, and to humble themselves before the word, the command of Christ. The Church of Christ at Laodicea was lukewarm, and it was so sick that it made Jesus sick. He told them, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. They needed to practice James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Spiritual healing is what James had in mind. The spiritually sick need Christ, who is the great physician. Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. The righteous are well spiritually, but sinners are sick. They need a doctor. They need spiritual healing. Matthew 9:12-13. Finally, friends, can we cope with illness? Yes. Like generations before us, like Christians in every age, we too can cope with physical and mental and spiritual illnesses. Illness can be a great teacher, but God gives us strength to face the things we must face, whatever it is. I recently read of a newspaper editor who made a lot of money, but who made also a lot of enemies. His life was full of anger and bitterness. He suddenly became very ill, and he was close to death. Well, in the long silence of his hospital room, he took another look at his life. He reordered his priorities. He looked upon the flowers sent by his friends. His wife read him the cards, the letters, the telegrams that he had received. He became aware of the many churches that were praying for him, and so he left the hospital a new man. He came to realize that there was more to life than making money. He also learned that there should be some room in our hearts for love, not hatred. God will help you physically, mentally, and spiritually. Get right with God by being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Obey the apostolic command to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38.